Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Hey.
Greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy court with praise. Yes, let everything that has breath now praise ye the Lord. Good morning, and God bless you, everyone. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, May 23rd, 2021. Now, I am Bishop Shalene Cook. I am the woman of God of this assembly, but I am always joined by my beautiful and anointed Spirit Alive family. And this morning, I'm being joined in the persons of Minister Tina Brown, Apostle Edwin Holloway, Prophetess Kathleen Holloway, Minister Anthony Brooks, and Evangelist Kathy Horton. Hallelujah. And on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you to this morning's worship service. This is a time to clap your hands and do your dance your way. Hallelujah. Because if you can't praise God up in your own house, where are you going to praise him? Hallelujah. But right now, we are going to go to opening prayer with our very own Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning just thanking you for the blessings you have given us with this worship service on another Sunday that you have provided for us, Lord. We ask that you bless all the listeners who are listening, Heavenly Father. But all the things that are going to be talked about today from the speaker of the hour, touch their hearts and move them in some way to get to know you even closer, Heavenly Father. We love you, and we just thank you for another blessed service you have given us ears to hear. We pray for the whole Spirit Alive ministry as we go about our service today, and we thank everyone for joining us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Hallelujah.
Father's prepared.
That was Sister Joanne Rosario singing, Follow Me. And let me just say, bienvenidos a nuestros servicios, mis hermanos y hermanas en Jesucristo. We're so glad that you're here with us today, and we pray that you are truly blessed. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. Hallelujah. And I just want to give God a hand clap and a shout of praise, because our meditational reading is always read by the mother of our church and my mother, for real, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. And this morning I can look across the room at my mother as she reads this morning's meditational reading that comes from a beautiful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince. So won't you please give your attention to Mother Mitchell as she reads this morning's message.
Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you. The message is entitled this morning, You Have It, So Say It. It's coming from Matthew chapter 25, verse 29, reads in part, For to everyone who has, more will be given, but he will have, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now, have you come across people who have little, yet even that little is taken away from them? Have you ever seen that? On the other hand, there are those who already have much, yet they receive even more. Jesus said, to everyone who has, more will be given. From him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Notice that Jesus doesn't go on to say what it is we have. He simply says, but to everyone who has. Jesus is talking about a firm belief in God's word that gives one of those, gives one the courage to say, I have it. If you say that you have it, you have it, and more will be given to you. But if you say that you don't have it when you actually do, because God has freely given us all things, see Romans 8 and 32, then even what you have will be taken away, not by God, but by the devil. The devil does not want you to walk in God's blessing. So when you say that you don't have it, he can rob you of your blessing because he has your agreement. When you need something, God says that you are to ask of him. And when you ask, believe that you receive it. Look at Mark 11, 24. Say you already have it, even if you don't see it in the physical realm, yet, and one day you will see it. God is not saying, oh, come on, pretend that you see it, and if you pretend long enough, you will have it. This is not a game. God is telling us to call forth those things which don't exist as though they do. See Romans 4 and 17. Today we are talking about the haves and the have-nots in the church. If you believe that it is yours, you will have it. You will see yourself possessing it and enjoying it. Excuse me. And more will be given to you. But if you say, well, I don't feel it, and I'm not sure if it will come, in essence, you are saying that you don't have it when you actually do. Then even what you have will be taken away. So say you have it today. May the Lord add blessings and favors to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and mighty word. The thought for today is, if you believe that it is yours, you will have it. Amen and amen.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't pray. What's left? I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my hang me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you. Take me to the my offering.
And glory to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And we have, saints of God, a lot to pray for. This morning, before I pray for the world, before I pray for anybody, as the bishop, as the covering, for this assembly. Today I am led to pray for my family first, because we know that love must start at home. So today I want every saint of God who is within the sound of my voice to bow your heart. I've never said bow your head. I have always said bow your heart as we go to the Lord in prayer. First, as we lift up the Spirit Alive family and then the world. Most gracious and heavenly Father, here I am, your humble servant, coming before you today, trusting and believing that you are the great I am. Lord, I come personally today to lift up the members of the Spirit Alive family. Now, Lord God, first I come lifting up Minister Tina, as she strives, Lord God, to show forth your love, your integrity, and your honesty, Father God, in the marketplace, in a place, Lord God, where people may look the other way to get ahead. Lord God, I thank you that you are continuing to strengthen her resolve, to let her light shine for you all the more. Father God, I praise you this morning as her husband Rodney grows closer to you, that grows closer even to his wife. And Lord, I thank you for her children, her son Kenny, who is about to get married, her son William, who has a beautiful family. We just pray your hedge of protection around them this morning, oh God. Lord, I come standing in agreement and lifting up Minister Tina's friend, Debbie, to you this morning. Because we know, Lord, as she fights cancer, you're fighting with her. And Lord, we're lifting up her friend Christine, Lord, and every other person that Minister Tina is pouring your holy word into. I ask, Lord, that you just bless her, and I pray that they will receive. Lord, I come now so blessed to know that my sister, my friend, Evangelist Michelle, is in the house with me today. Father God, I come this morning lifting my sister, Lord, asking that you put my sister, Evangelist Michelle, and my brother, Pastor Jeffrey, up under your pinion. Put them in a high place, Lord. Rock them in your bosom, Lord, as they strive, Lord, to be an example to their family during this time of bereavement, during this time of chaos, during this time of healing, God. I pray your hedge of protection around my sister and my brother and their children. Lord, let not the enemy have not one iota of place in their lives. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would not allow those who just want to be nosy, that you would not allow those that just want to keep up mess to call their houses, Lord. Don't let them call them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you only send positivity, encouragement, love, and light to my beautiful family right now. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to strengthen them from day to day. I know that you are the healer, God. And I know that it is not your will for us to be sick. So Lord, I just pray that you continue to bless my sister as she recovers from her procedure. Bless my brother as he covers his family. Bless the children, Lord, as they are stepping up to the plate, Lord, and standing in the gap for their mother and their father. Yeah. Lord, I praise you today. I thank you today, Jesus. And Lord, I just come this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Praising your holy name for my beloved mother who I stand in the gates and call blessed. I thank you, Lord, for allowing her to be here with me today. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to serve her, honor her, love her, care for her. Because in doing that, God, I am honoring you. Lord, I thank you for her beautiful spirit. I thank you for her fighting spirit. Continue to touch her body. Continue to touch her spirit. Continue to heal, God, as only you can. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I come lifting up my sister, Sister Gladys, to you this morning. God, I praise you for her growth. I praise you that she has an ear to hear and a heart to receive. I praise you for Mother Apostle Zeta Flowers that took the time, Lord God, to want to share her wisdom, her knowledge, her understanding of who you are. But Lord, I ask that you continue to keep my sister close. Lord, I pray that you show her up on every leaning side and continue to remind her of just how much you love her, just how much you're ready to stand there and provide her every need according to your riches and glory. Lord God, you are the comforter. And as she goes about, Lord, doing what you have called her to do, continue, Lord God, to pour into her. Bless her husband, Lord. Bless her family, Lord. And use her mightily. And God, I most certainly come glorifying your holy name this morning for my beautiful and anointed sister, Evangelist Kathy. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for her inspiration, Lord God. I thank you for her wisdom, her knowledge, her understanding. I thank you for her heart set and her mindset, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for her demonstration of love towards your people.
Yes.
And Lord, I thank you that she loves her mama and she's caring for her mama just like me. And Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would just continue to pour into her, strengthen her, use her. Lord, let your uncommon favor fall fresh upon her right now in the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, don't stop there. Touch my wonderful brother, Minister Anthony. Lord God, you have told us that when one of your children, when one of your children have the dream, there will be a vision.
Yeah.
Lord, bless him to bring into fruition your vision for his life.
Yeah.
Lord, bless his family. I pray your hedge of protection around his children. I pray, Lord God, that you go before him in all that he must do. And, Lord, I pray right now that you provide his every need. Lord, I praise you for his growth. I praise you for his faith. I praise you that I have a brother that I can call minister and friend. And then, Father God, last but not least, I praise you for my mama, my sister, my pastor, Apostle Zeta Flowers. Lord, I just want to thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing through this mighty woman of God. I just want to thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, for using her in a mighty way, Lord, to protect and love and pour into your children, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
For making her such a beautiful foster mother, Lord. Not for a season, Lord God, but for a lifetime. Thank you.
Thank you,
I glorify you this morning, God.
Thank you.
And because of all this, Lord, the enemy is busy. But I rebuke every nasty, ugly thing that he thinks he's going to do in your holy name. Because, Lord God, we know as your children, everything that the enemy will try to do is going to be undone because you will not be outdone. And I thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Father God,
hallelujah.
And as I pray for my family, I now pray for the world. Lord, touch those who need a touch from you.
Yeah.
Lord, we see so much going on in this world, but we know that you are still at work. So, Lord, as we look at what's going on in the world, we come praying this morning to help us to annihilate hatred with love. Help us, Father God, to eradicate inequality with equality. Help us to erase racism with acceptance, oh God. Let us get it right in our own lives. Let us come together on the for real and not the pretend.
Thank you.
And glorify you and live for you in a way that you called us to live.
Yes, Lord.
Now, Lord, I just want to say thank you for my life.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God, for all that you placed down in me.
Okay.
And, Lord, I just want you to know right now, I have not forgotten about my Holloway down there in Arizona.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord God,
hallelujah.
I was praying to the Spirit about what to pray. Because, see, Lord, I want to be effective in my prayers for them, for I love them, God. And I want your will to be done in their lives, oh God. So first and foremost, God, I pray that you strengthen them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet.
Thank you.
And Lord God, I pray that your uncommon favor follows them and overtakes them in everything that they go to do. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that your provisions would flow to this family like milk and honey. I pray, Father God, that everything that they do to glorify you, hallelujah, we'll be honored. Because, see, that's what your word says.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would continue to cover them, for you have brought them from a mighty long way, but they still have so much more to do and so much more to say. And, Lord, I thank you for giving me the words I thank you, Lord.
Thank
and
you.
I give you all
thank
the honor
you.
And the glory and the praise.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. In your holy and righteous name. Amen.
Yes.
And to God be the glory. Let the church of God say amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I feel good
amen.
Today, y'all.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Water that snow.
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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's message. Now, family, if you have not already done so, please retrieve your Bibles. And I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, first book in the New Testament. We're going to be looking at chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. And then when you get there, put your finger right there, and then I want you to flip over to Luke, excuse me, chapter 14, verses 25 through 33, because those are the two texts that we're going to be looking at today. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Very next book, the Gospel of Dr. Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 through 23 will be our text for today. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace just thanking you, hallelujah, for yet another day to bring forth your holy word. Lord, I pray right now that you just simply remove me completely from self and step into my body of clay and teach your children what you would have them to know about you. Father God, I pray that you will use this message to edify, empower, and impact your saints. And Lord, I pray that someone that doesn't know you and the pardon of their sin will hear something in this message that will cause them to run to you, asking you to be their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, I do pray it all. Amen. And to God be the glory. All right, thanks to God. You know, I once heard a story about a pig and a chicken walking past a church where the sign read, "Help us to feed the homeless, of the hungry." Now, the chicken suggested to the pig that maybe they could help by pitching in some eggs and bacon. The pig responded, "That's easy for you to say. Your part requires just a contribution. For me, it is a life or death commitment." And that's what I want to talk to us about this morning. I want us all to consider the cost of the call. Yes, I want us to think about the cost of the call to the discipleship of Christ Jesus. Because if we are alive in Christ, then we are leaving a legacy of faith by living the abundant life right now, then our lives should reflect that we have considered the cost and we have answered the call of Jesus when he said, "Follow me." Now let's look at our text. Matthew 16. 24 through 26, where Jesus said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" All right, thanks to God. First and foremost, I want to once again define what a disciple is, because we can never assume that people automatically know. Because for many of us, this is either a new term or one that we don't really understand. We hear disciple and we think about those 12 guys that ran around with Jesus. And yes, they were indeed disciples. They were followers of Christ. But you have to remember, we are also called to be disciples. The Great Commission says, go and make disciples of men. In the early church, followers of Christ were called disciples, as seen in Acts 11 and 26. Now, what you need to know and understand that the term Christian, it didn't come till down the road, maybe even years after Christ had rose from the dead. Now, First, I want us to look at three questions we can find the answers to in this text on the cost of discipleship. And then I'm going to take us on over to Luke 14 for the application. So question number one we can ask ourselves when we're considering the cost of being a disciple is, where do I begin? Well, this is an appropriate question to ask, and Jesus gives us that answer. Where do we begin? We begin by denying ourselves. We begin by putting aside our own selfish ambitions. We begin by giving Jesus his proper place in our lives. It's about understanding that it's not about me, it's not about you, but it is all about Jesus. You know, and we have to make Jesus our Lord, not just our Savior. See, you can't have Jesus as your Lord or your Savior. No, we have to have Jesus as our Lord and our Savior.
Yeah.
First and foremost, we got to get it together. We got to know who he is. Then the next thing we see is we can take up our cross. Now, when we take up our cross, what Jesus is saying here is we've got to have some Holy Ghost discipline. You know, we got to read the word. We have to pray, worship, fellowship. We got to go out and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Okay? Then we've got to be obedient to Romans 12 and 1. And y'all, you know I love me some Romans 12, 1 and 2. See, we cannot be conformed to this world. But we have to be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then we have to follow. We have to follow. That is the basic command of Christ Jesus. Because that's what he said to all of his disciples. Follow me.
Yes.
See, discipleship begins when we call upon the name of Jesus for our salvation. Now, Buddha, now Allah, now Confucius, the name of Jesus. That's when discipleship begins. From the moment we give Jesus our life, our discipleship process begins. See, what we're doing is we are denying our own ways. We're denying the old self. And we're choosing to follow him all day, every day, without fail. See, you have to understand, discipleship is for a lifetime and not for a season. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You see, we will never graduate from discipleship 101. See, there's no end date or expiration date for Christians because Christianity is for a lifetime. Now, moving on to question number two. So, what is required? Once again, good question. Everybody wants to know what they're getting into. I mean, how many of us have ever taken a job without knowing what would be expected of us? So in verse 25, you see here Jesus gives us a bit of a job description in somewhat of a very creative way. Let's look at what he said. He said, you know, wait a minute. I got to do this. This is going to be fun. Okay. You know what? I'm going to do this verse. Because I love it, one. And it reminds me of that old Abbott and Costello skit, Who's On First? So here we go, say, listen to this. And you can laugh because it's going to be funny because I thought it was funny. Okay. What is required? Losing your life. Why? So that you may have life. But you said I was going to lose my life. Yes, you did. But when do I gain life? When you lose it. Lose what? Your life, and gain what? Your life. How do I gain life by losing it? God's grace, mercy. Oh, he plays outfield. You see, Jesus has a way of making the listeners listen and think about what he's saying. His point was that there is a huge investment that needs to be made on our part when we choose to be his disciple. When Jesus says losing your life, what does he mean? Does he mean we really lose our life? No, not always. But let me tell you what God will do. He will take away the very things that we cling to the most, that we honor most, that has our affections. Why? Because it takes first place in our affections before him. You see, God will not always require us to give up our life to the point of death, but because of our love for him, because we have considered the cost that he already paid, it shouldn't be an issue. You know, Philippians 1:21 says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, you have to understand, saints of God, lordship is key. We have to give Jesus full control of our lives. Now, I know some of us saints love to run around talking about how God is their co-pilot. But let me come and tell you, but I submit to you this morning, that's not good enough. See, God can't be your co-pilot. God must be the only pilot, okay? Then we talk about what do I lose? Well, you know, you're going to have to lose the world. There's a bumper sticker that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. That's a popular mindset for this day and age. You know, everybody wants to be like the Jeffersons and move on up. You know, the way of the world is to want more money, a bigger house, faster cars, and the perfect relationship. But do you notice Jesus' message in verse 26 didn't look anything like that? He said, what good is it to have everything here on earth only to die and lose it all? He who dies with the most toys, newsflash, you still die. Yeah. How about that, sports fan? You see, forfeit means to voluntarily give up. See, by not choosing Jesus, you are choosing to die. Have you ever thought about it that way? Have you ever stopped to think that the decisions we make today can and will alter the rest of our life and even our eternity? The important part of that today is tomorrow isn't guaranteed. See, the only, you know, there's an old saying, the only two things that are certain to come is taxes and death. And when you look at the local obituaries, you can find people from ages 1 to 92 that have passed away. And many of them had plans for tomorrow or had family and friends that were planning for their tomorrow. But they still died. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Lord, look. There was this French mathematician and philosopher, Blaise Pascal, and he put Christianity into a bit of a game of for skeptics. He said, if Christianity is wrong and you choose it, what have you lost? Yeah. But if Christianity is right and you choose not to accept it, you've lost everything. Now, if this mathematician knows that, what's wrong with the children of God? That is what Jesus is telling us in Matthew 16:26. You know, when we leave here, we're gonna leave here the same way we came here. And I just want to ask somebody this morning, have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? I don't think so. Now, let us flip over to Luke 14:25. So I'm going to show you how we break this down. And this is how it's going to be applied and what it's going to make look like in your life. Luke 14:25-33, it says, I'm using very, very, very familiar passages this morning. And it says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great far away, he sendeth an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Love. In Luke 14, Jesus again lays out the terms of discipleship. You see, there were great crowds following him. Everyone loved the miracles, they loved the healing, and they loved the free food. Jesus was cool. He was the talk of the town. Oh, he was the latest fad. But you see, Jesus knew their hearts. He knew they desired the benefits of what he did rather than the understanding of who he was. They loved his gifts, not the life that he was calling them to. So he explained what it would take to be one of his followers. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate even his own father, mother, and wife, children, brothers, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Huh. He wrote, I just read it to you. He wrote it down. You know. So what he's saying is, and I want to, this is a wake-up call for somebody. Those of you that are following Jesus simply for what you can get, stop it. Stop it. See, real followers of Jesus, they're going to stick around when the going gets tough. When God's ways conflict with our way, we will feel betrayed by the shallow me-first faith we have brought into the situation. See, if we have not counted the cost of being his child, we will turn away at the threat of sacrifice and find something else to gratify our selfish desires. In Jesus' earthly ministry, there came a time when the free food stopped and public opinion turned ugly. The cheering crowds became jeering crowds. But you know what? Jesus knew ahead of time that this would happen. Jesus ended his description of the cost of discipleship with a breathtaking statement. Any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Renouncing may mean we give up something physically. But all, more often it means that we let go of that emotional baggage, you know, so that we can, we let go of that sin. We let go of that, say those things, you know what I'm saying, that have a grip on our lives. When we become one of his, we cannot continue to belong to the world. We have to make a choice. Because you know what? God said, we can't serve him and mammon.
Right.
The rich ruler, when he was confronted with that choice, he turned his back on Jesus. Now, I want to ask you something. Suppose you learned that you have been given an all-expense-paid condo on a beach in Tahiti, complete with airfare, a car, food, and a maid. Now, you can brag about your new lifestyle, plan for it, and dream about it. But until you pack up and leave your current home, that new life you dreaming about, talking about, is not really yours.
Exactly.
You cannot live in Tahiti if you are in your current home. The new life is never really yours. You can't live in a current place and move to a new place at the same time. But, and you know, that's the way a lot of us approach Christianity. Oh, we love the ideal of eternal life and escaping hell and having Jesus at our beck and call. But they are not so willing to leave the life they now live. They're not so willing to leave their desires, their lifestyle, and sinful habits. Because why? They're just too precious to them. Their lives may exhibit a token change. You know, they'll actually show up to church, you know, on more days than Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. But they want to retain ownership of everything else in their life. See, and this is the mindset that Jesus was confronting right here in this scripture. Thanks to God, we cannot earn salvation by lifestyle change or any good deed. That's what we're told in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. But when we choose to follow Jesus, we are releasing control over our lives. When Jesus is in control, pure living will result. You don't believe me? Go to 1 John 3, 4 through 10, or 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. In Jesus' parable of the sower, it was also it was only the soil that allowed the seed to be put down roots and bear fruit that was called good. If we are going to be disciples of Christ, we must first consider and count the cost of following him. You see, when we're going to live a Christ-centered life, it's going to cost us our favorite sin. You know, those sins that so easily beset us. Like it says in Hebrews 12 and 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Saints of God, I'm asking all of us to keep it really real up in here this morning with ourselves and with God. And I want us to ask ourselves, what sins do I knowingly tolerate? Do I stand around a water cooler, you know, or while somebody makes an off-color joke? Do I still go to the shoe store when I know my rent isn't paid? You know, those are sins, like not being a good steward or, you know. I want you to ask yourself, what sins are keeping me from bondage? What attitudes? Because Ephesians 4 and 30 admonishes us, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. We need to ask ourselves, what would I be ashamed of if Jesus returned right now? Ask yourself, do I keep secret sins from other people? You know, am I knocking over the pews on Sunday and then I'm treating people like they less than human on Monday through Saturday? Am I singing the loudest in the choir on Sunday, but I'm talking about everybody like they have two heads and a tail Sunday afternoon? You see, these are the questions that we must ask ourselves. And then we must immediately go to Jesus to repent. And then we need to ask for deliverance. Because living in total surrender to Christ demands that we deal with every sin, especially our favorite sins. You know, those little things that we still do that we feel are just too insignificant for God to even notice. Oh, those are the ones that he notices the most. Trust me. That's why he says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, okay? A Christ-centered life will cost the favor of the world. First John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. The world loves darkness, but we're children of light. So we must walk in that light, in spirit and in truth. We are to let our light so shine that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. But thanks to God, when we do this, we got to know the world ain't going to like us very much. Mm-mm. We're going to be rejected by the world. Look what it says in John 15, 19 through 20. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Beloved, the world rejected Christ and his followers. And if the world didn't like Jesus and his followers, the world ain't going to like you either. The world doesn't want to see your Christ light shining all over the place, opening the door for the Holy Spirit to convict others of their sin. No, the world doesn't want us to go around loving on people and caring more for others than ourselves. That's not, as I just told you, that's not the world's motto. The world's motto is dog eat dog. I'm going to get mine. You better get yours. I'm going to be top dog and top boss at any cost. That's what the world says.
Yeah.
Finally, I want you to understand that a Christ-centered life will cost first place in your heart. The difference between salvation and surrender, salvation is a free gift.
Yeah.
We're saved by grace. Huh? Through faith. It's a gift from God. Salvation is by faith alone. Discipleship is costly. You need to understand this. But God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto him.
Yeah.
So when we're going to be a disciple of Christ, we better get ready to say, not my will, but your will be done, oh God. Hallelujah. What am I saying this morning? What am I saying? Have you considered the cost? Jesus has already paid it all. But if you're going to follow him, get ready for some bumpy roads. Get ready for some hard times, lean times, and in-between times. But I came to tell you this morning, you just need to stand on the word of God. You just have to live according to the way God called you to live. Hallelujah. Go through with Jesus, and I guarantee you it will be worth it. Hallelujah. Cast your cares on Jesus. He loves us. You know, stop looking to the world to give you something it doesn't have in it to give you. The world don't even like itself. How's it going to accept you? The world doesn't even love itself. How's it going to love you? The world will throw itself under the bus. So what is it going to do for you, child of God? Who it is. Today, we need to live for him today. We need to follow him today. And look, we cannot walk around following Christ like we're intoxicated. Two steps forward, stagger 10 steps back. Lean to the side and go back 3 forward. And stumble 12 back. No. See, we have to get a made-up mind that we're going with Jesus all the way. Wherever he leads us, we're going to follow. Whatever he says do, we're going to do. And we're going to do it with joy and gladness. And we're going to praise him all the way through it. Because, see, I consider the cost. And when I think about how Jesus allowed himself to be whipped all night long, when I think about how he allowed himself to be hung high and stretched wide, when I think about how his blood came streaming down, taking my sin, my nasty, filthy, ugly sin unto himself so that I might have life. All I can do is love him. All I can do is follow him. All I can do is obey him. All I can do is praise him. All I can do is pray to him. All I can do is trust him. And you should too. Because he is the only one that has never left us nor forsaken us. He is the only one. Hallelujah, that can do all things but fail. He is the only one that paid it all so that we might have life. Hallelujah, and to God be the glory. Now, right now, saints of God, you have heard what I've had to tell you today. And what I'm going to do at this time is I'm going to ask that Apostle Zeta Flowers come forth, and I'm going to ask that she takes a moment and extends to you an invitation, not to a church, not to a religion, but into a relationship with Jesus. And after she has done that, she will pray for you and with you. And then I'm going to open up the lines and allow everybody to put their praise on it. So, Apostle Zeta, won't you please come forth now?
Yes, I will. Yes. Praise God. What a powerful message. That was wonderful. Praise God. I know it went out and reached. Praise God. And that's what we wanted to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for those that were listening. Hallelujah. And those that are accepting of the Lord Jesus Christ, that have accepted him into their hearts. Praise God. Hallelujah. I do want to pray for you. And that if there are any that have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you can accept him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Asking him to forgive you for all of your sins and unrighteousness, and he will cleanse you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he will accept you, hallelujah, into his kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we just lift up these new converts. Hallelujah. All over the world. Hallelujah. We lift them up, Lord, and ask that you would watch over them, that you would guide them, that you would lead them, that you would put them in good, qualified leadership, that they may learn more and more about you, that they will have a continued relationship with you, God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
that they will walk with you. Hallelujah. That they will allow you to pour into them. Hallelujah. Through whomever the leadership might be. We're depending on you, Lord, for these souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, for each one, because we know that each one is valued by you.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord.
We know what you did on Calvary. You laid down your life and you died, hallelujah, for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that they might not have to endure the second death. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But they will live with you eternally.
Yes, Lord.
So we thank you for it today. We thank you that they have all of that in you and more. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We thank you because when we are in our sins, we are dead. Hallelujah. But when we accept you, we are accepting life. Hallelujah. The life that you have provided for them. Hallelujah. And for all of us. Hallelujah.
Yes,
now,
Lord.
I just want to say to the new converts, be encouraged.
Yes.
Be encouraged. Hallelujah. Pray. And if you don't know how to pray, find someone that does. Hallelujah. And allow them to teach you and to pray with you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Learn more about God through his holy word.
Yes,
attend the Bible
yes.
studies when you can.
Yes, Lord. Thank
and be
you.
In the services wherever you can be.
Yes, Lord.
Whether it be through radio broadcasts, whether it be through Spirit Alive broadcast, wherever it might be in the presence of the Lord so that you can learn more and more about him. And the way you learn about him is through his holy word. Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Zeta. Thank you, ma'am. God bless
you're
you,
very
beautiful
welcome.
Woman of God.
She is so special to me, saints of God. And yes, I dote on my family, and I don't care about nobody knowing it. Hallelujah. It is now, this is my favorite part of the, my favorite time of the service, where we allow all the saints of God in here to put their praise on it. Glory to God. And we just want you, this is a time where you can just touch and agree. You can just put your praise on it. You can just say, thank you, Jesus. I'm alive. I am alive in you. Whatever the Spirit leads, however the Spirit leads you, you're well. This is a time for you to share as well. But in the meantime and in between time, I always want to give the beautiful servant leaders of Spirit Alive a moment to put their praise on it and to share a golden nugget that they might have gleaned from today. And I'm going to start today with Apostle and Prophetess Holloway. Hallelujah.
God bless you. God bless you, Bishop, and all that are on the line. And this was a wonderful message, praise the Lord, that we like sweets all the time and, you know, cupcakes and candy and what we like to fill ourselves with. But this was a call to consider the cost. And the cost is obedience to Christ. But we have hope because he said if we delight ourselves in him, doing his will, doing it his way, that he will give us the desires of our heart. We're not
Amen.
Giving up everything for nothing, but then we end up having eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. And as she had said, I remember Christ-centered life will cost us something. We're going to have to give up something as God brings them to us and takes us through our journey in a Christ-centered life because Jesus is real. His Father is real. The Word of God is real. And I just thank God for the message today. Thank you, Bishop, for that message. It's a reminder and a strengthener to gird up our loins and just keep going and doing it Jesus' way. In Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name.
Bless you, beautiful woman of God. Hallelujah, Apostle.
We just give God praise, glory, and honor today. We thank God for Jesus. He came and died that we might have life and life more abundantly. And we just thank God for the word. Because that was powerful. Because we have to, when we come to Jesus and receive him as our Lord and Savior, we have to give up. We have to turn around. We have to give up the old life. We have to, we're going to be given a new life, a more abundant life. And it's not so much abundance in things, but abundance in blessing and abundance in health and strength, abundance in knowing what God would have for us, knowing that we are secure in God. So when anything comes your way, any trauma, anything comes your way, God is there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we will know that God has us in his hand. We're walking with
That's
God.
Good.
And we are our disciples. God, we're following him. And when we follow the leader, he's not going to run away. He's not going to run
That's
away
right.
and leave us. He said, it depends on you got to. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ."
Amen.
If Paul
Amen.
Don't follow Christ, then we keep on walking. We keep on following Christ. We don't because
Amen.
The leader messed up. Don't mean that we turn
Not
away. We
up.
Keep on following
Amen.
Christ.
Just follow
so,
Jesus.
So be encouraged, folks. Be encouraged that God is. He's on your side. He loves you. He died for you.
Amen.
You might be reconciled back to God. So God loved us. He sent his son. He sent his word down to us. So
the rich man
wanted to ask God. He asked God, "What must I do to be saved?" Jesus said, "Hey, give up everything and follow me." And he walked away because he loved his riches.
Let it go.
You give it up down the road.
Give it up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Apostle. God bless you, sir. You're awesome.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, my wonderful Apostle. He is just so wonderful. I want to ask Mother Mitchell. Come on in the room.
Thank you. An awesome, awesome message. I thank you for that message. I just some of it we talked about and just came up in our daily relationship with each other. But we have to deny ourselves if we want to follow and follow Christ. We must read and pray for understanding and wisdom of his word. We must follow so we will know what his example is and then be transformed so daily we become more and more what he wants us to be. So losing our lives so we can have life, if we lose it, we really gain it. And that's such a thing to understand, but I praise God that I think I've got it.
Amen.
If you lose your life for Christ,
you don't lose your life.
Amen. You gain your life. So I just thank God that he is there for us. He loves us. He blesses us. And all he says we have to do is give up all the old junk in a world that is unfit for anything anyway.
Amen.
So thank you, Bishop. I'll stop there. God
Amen.
Bless you.
All right now, hallelujah. Minister Tina, come on in the room, dog.
Woo! Praise him. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I love the message.
All right.
Oh, my goodness, did I love the message. But not only did I love the message, I just want to praise God for blessing us with you. Bishop Shuing Cook.
Bless your heart.
Blessing
bless
the
heart.
Family in the ministry and the ministry all around the world. If it wasn't for you, a lot of us wouldn't be where we're at today. So I just lift you up to the Lord and thank the Lord for you, Bishop,
God
and all that
you
do, and that I love you with all my heart. And I praise God for you every day. Thank you, Lord.
God.
Amen.
God bless you, little sister. I love you too, my angel. Yes, I do. Hallelujah. Like I said, I love, don't know, my family. Sister Gladys, look, all of them. Sister Gladys, hallelujah. Come on, put your praise on it, dear.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I just thank you for this message on today. I love Radio Spirit Alive Church because not only do we get the word, but we get a teaching, and then it's backed up from the word. See what I'm saying? And what I got out of today is lose the stuff. You have to lose the stuff in order to gain new life with Jesus and to have it more abundantly. Abundantly. I think about that. Like, wow. My God, because I know you supply everything. So abundantly,
yes, sir.
I can have
yes,
everything. I can have anything that I asked in your name according
yes.
to your
yes.
glory and according
yes.
to my act here on this earth to lose myself and to gain you. That's worth
Hallelujah.
Living.
Hallelujah.
Now, that's worth living. That's worth
that
living.
Is.
Yes. I just thank
Hallelujah.
God. I thank God for this ministry. I thank God for this ministry. Oh, God. I just thank God for my acquaintance with Apostle. You know, oh, God, the way we met was just, It was beautiful. But I just thank God for it. I thank God. You know, I went in to pray for this lady, and I didn't even know she was an apostle. She was sitting there praying for me as I prayed for her. And I
thank God.
I thank God because he have a way of
doing everything.
People in your life to help guide you together.
Yes,
to help
Jesus.
Guide you towards his mark. And I just thank God. I'm excited today. I am really excited today. And I just thank God for all that he's doing and how he's doing it and when he do it and the supplying. I could go on and on. Today.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for what he's doing and this ministry, how it's growing. Bishop Shaleen, I love you.
I love you more.
I just thank you. I just thank you. And I pray daily for you. I pray daily for you.
Thank you, my bad. Thank you, my precious.
Since I've been here the past 6 months, my life has changed. My thoughts.
Glory.
And I know that there's still some works I need to do in order for God to continue to come on in, but I'm working towards the mark. Mother Mitchell says, as long as you're working towards that mark.
Yes. Glory.
God is
glory.
Glory.
Oh, hallelujah.
I thank God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
we love
God.
You, sis.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank God for you.
I love
hallelujah.
You too. Love you all.
We love you, baby. We love you, sweetheart. All right. Now comes my sister. Oh, hallelujah. My spiritual twin. Hurricane. Evangelist Horton, come on in the room.
Glory to God. Glory to God. That's blessed me. Oh, my Lord, that has blessed me. Counting the cost. Make sure you don't count the right, wrong things.
Yeah.
Don't even let us know. Hey, don't put your mother, father, sister, brother, your children, husband, nobody before God. Count the right thing. We love those are people we love the most. That's closest to us. King Tut counted the wrong thing. He packed his burial chamber with all kind of seeds and fruit that he thought he might need on the other side. But all his stuff is in the museum, is in Cairo and in England and San Francisco. He counted the wrong thing. They
That's
followed
right.
Jesus for the benefit. They didn't follow him for the relationship of God.
That's
they
right.
counted the wrong thing. Now you have to ask
That's
yourself, name three things worth going to hell for. Okay, three, just three. Can't think of three? How about two? And I'm talking to the saints. How about one? Salvation was made free, but God counted the cost. He said, they ain't going to make it, so I'm going to have to send my son down there to get them straight now. He counted the cost and what it would take for us to be saved, and that cost was Jesus Christ. He paid the price for our sin. It was made free to us. He paid for it. He counted the cost, but he gave it to us free. Now, all we have to do is walk according to the word. Walk as he told us to do. Everything everybody said before me. Let that stuff go.
Go.
Your worth is not based on what you have. Your worth is based on your relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus
Ooh,
Christ.
That's dumb.
That's where your worth is. That's where your worth is. Ain't nothing I can repeat. Nothing worth going to hell for. So receive the benefits because they're already there for you.
Say that loud for the people in the vestibule in the back. Say it again loud for the people in the vestibule or back in the bedroom in the back that might not be paying attention. Say that one more time, please. What's worth going to hell for?
Name three things worth going to hell for.
Come on.
Two. How about one? Then let it go.
Come on.
The lady earlier
said. Let it go. Tell them again. Let it go.
Lose your stuff and gain Jesus. Lose
there
your,
you go.
Says,
there
lose
he
your
is.
Life. That was great. Lose your life and save your life.
There you
lose
go.
Lose your life and gain Christ. Glory to God. That was. I could go on, but I'll cut it up. That was beautiful. So count the cost.
Oh, God bless you, beautiful sister. Hallelujah.
God
Minister Anthony. I love you, sis. Minister Anthony, come on in the room.
A lot of powerful words going out. Holy Spirit is right here with all of us. Praise you, Father, in Messiah's name. We talk about losing these things, but a lot of times we're holding on. We don't want to let go. We don't want to surrender all to Father God. We say, I'll give you this, but I won't give you that. You can have this, but I want to get that. And we know he doesn't work that way. He's all or nothing. We all in with Jesus, or we're not. You can't be sometime you with him, like Bishop said. Spoke it so true, and hey, we get it. Can't be staggeredly out there about Jesus. It may be a slow, grudging path at times, but as long as we're taking one step forward, not being quick to fall back into the ways of the world. Then on top of that, and talking about putting loved ones before Father God. Hey, I'm an example of that. You know, there's a person in this world that is so extremely near and dear to my heart. I got friends and family and loved ones, but there's one, and Bishop knows who I'm talking about. That I waited most of my life to see come to manifest, and for a short while, it was absolute joy. Right now, it's been, for the last number of years, it's been hurt and pain. But it's a test from the Most High. I know Father God's worked everything out. But he also is letting me know. He's letting me know. Is that person more important to you than me? Is anybody or anything more important to you than me? He's asking me. He's asking you. He's asking everybody. And Jesus tells us to pick up our cross, walk with him, follow him, to surrender all, to lose this world. The big part of it, of losing this world, is releasing this world, taking my hands off of it, off of everything. Taking, not trying to clutch hold to my finances and think I got to figure it out when I don't. Trying to hold on to relationships when it's about Father God first. Hold on to situations and circumstances, to controlling people, to controlling things, because you're controlling mindsets. No, no, no. Let go. We got to let go. We got to release.
Yes,
we got to abandon it and trust Father God. If we really, really want him, if we really look to Jesus, our rabbi, our teacher. Do you want to really be a disciple? Do I really want to be a disciple? Do I really want to follow him? Yeah, a root word of disciple is discipline.
That's right.
Structure, order, following, learning, growing.
Yes,
that's
growing.
What we as disciples do. And discipline comes in when we seek obedience in all that we do. Obedience to the Father, not about my will,
but thy will, Father God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, my dear brother. Now, we're so blessed that before I go to Apostle Zeta, we are so blessed that we do have the Scott family listening today. And without putting them on the spot in any kind of way, because that is not my intent, I would still like to give them an opportunity to have a word, whether it be my beautiful niece, Annecy, or it be my sister or my brother. We would just like to give you an opportunity to have a word if you so desire. Amen. And so I'm going to wait a few minutes. And then if not, we do not hear from them, we will go to Apostle Zeta. Amen. I hear movement.
Okay. Bishop, can you hear me?
Yes, my baby. I can hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I appreciate the word. I appreciate all of you guys. And I thank God for the message, and I just thank God for your prayers and your love and your understanding. And may God continue to bless all of you. And just thank you so much for everything.
We love you, our angel. We love you. You are our sister, girl. You are sister. We are circling the wagons around you and brother and the kids, and we done called on Jesus, all the angels, Moses, Paul, Mark, Luke, John, everybody up there. We done called on. We calling on them to stand in prayer with us for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we love you, Evangelist Michelle. We love you and Pastor Jeffrey. We love your children. You know I love your children. And so we just want you to all we want you to do is focus on being restored. Hallelujah. And just letting God minister to you right now. Okay? That's one of the hardest things for some ministers to do is allow themselves to be ministered to by God. And we want you to do that right now so that when you come out, girl, you're going to come out swinging better than ever. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When you come out the other side, you're going to be as pure gold. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm already praising God for the victory. Hallelujah. Now, Apostle Zeta, last but never least in my mind, my heart, or my spirit, I would like for you to come on in now and put your praise on this whole situation.
Yes, I'm here. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be on Spirit Alive today. I didn't know that I was going to be called on and have so much to say today, but praise the Lord. It's working out. We're actually having a full service here today in a little while. And, so different ones are helping out and getting things together.
That's all right.
And, but praise God, I'm happy to be on, and I enjoy, as I said earlier, the message was powerful, and
yes, ma'am.
I enjoyed every comment, so I don't have much more to say, because
that's all right.
Everybody said it all, but praise
Amen.
God,
well,
you all pray for us, and
We're about to do that right now, Apostle, in the name of Jesus.
We certainly are going to continue to pray for Spirit Alive.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, family.
Some of us already know what a blessing Spirit Alive has been and will continue to be. And we thank God for you, Bishop Shirlene Cook. And I already heard Gladys and her comments about you and others as well that I have asked to listen in. They appreciate Spirit Alive as well. So we are one great big family.
Yes, we are.
Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, now, family, we are going to pray for Mother Apostle Zeta's service so that we want them to feel the same love, the same power, the same joy, the same peace that we feel right now. So, Father God, we just come as a family, lifting up Apostle Zeta's service today. Lord God, we come, hallelujah, praising you that she is going forth, Lord God, to do your holy will. Lord, we ask a special blessing upon her service. We ask, Lord God, that the people will truly be blessed and that they will continue to learn who you are. I want to thank you, Father God, for her humility. I thank you for her servant's heart. I thank you, Father God, that she only wants to please you and desires, Lord God, that all come to know you in the pardon of their sin. So, Lord God, we stand together. We stand as a family. Hallelujah. We are her errand. We are her. We will be her as her. And we are holding her hands up, God, just as we're holding up Evangelist Michelle's arms, just as we are holding up Pastor Jeffrey's arms. God, we are standing right here, right now in the gap saying we know you got this. And we pray it all in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen, and to God be the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If there be nothing else, we will now turn the service over to Mother Mitchell for our benediction, and I will dismiss you.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen. You have been listening to the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. We truly pray that you are blessed today, and that you have heard something that will help you go out and live the abundant life in Christ. I want to thank all the beautiful servant leaders here, Mother Mitchell, Minister Tina, Apostle Edwin, Prophetess Kathleen, our beautiful minister, sister Gladys, and our minister, Anthony. I want to thank my beautiful sister, Evangelist Cassie, and Evangelist Michelle. And of course, I want to say a very special thank you to Apostle Zeta, who is always here, standing in the gap. She is always willing to be God's ram in the bush. So I just want to thank her this morning. And I thank all of you for listening. So we are pleased to announce that we will be coming out of hiatus on June the 1st. But please join us next Sunday as Apostle Zeta will bring the powerful word, Know Who You Are. So you don't want to miss that. So come back and join us same time, same station next week. And remember, we pray that you, hallelujah, continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our house to your house, we pray that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go with God and go in peace. Hallelujah. And remember,
amen.
Jesus loves you, and so do we. Amen. Say to God, love you. God bless you.
Amen. Love you. God bless you.
God bless you. Love you.
God bless you. Have a wonderful day, everybody. I love you, Michelle.
God bless you
all.
Love
you. Bye.
Bye.